I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. At sundown tonight, Hanukkah begins, which means we can play great Hanukkah music like... No, don't worry. We're not going to hear the dreidel song. Let's listen instead to some Jewish music that often gets overlooked.
If I were a rich man, da-do-dee-do-da-do-dig-dig-dig-a-dig-a-diddle-diddle-dum.
That would be none other than Motown greats The Temptations doing their version of the Fiddler on the Roof overture. So, Roger Bennett, you tell us, how come no one ever talks about The Temptations' Jewish music?
I think that's a lot down to the triumph of Barry, Barbara, and Neil. That would be Manilow, Streisand, and of course Neil Diamond, the holy trinity of Jewish musicians who kind of define what Jewish music is for a generation like myself, who grew up after a time when Jews had mostly left the city, entered the suburbs, and moved very quickly from tradition to modernity. Well, and all their careers, all the Jewish music, and the musicians on whose shoulders they were kind of standing, all of those guys were written out of history. And our job, the Idelson Society, is to reclaim them and reinsert them into the present.
Right. And Roger, you and fellow Jewish music aficionado Josh Kuhn authored this informative and very entertaining book titled And You Shall Know Us by the Trail of Our Vinyl. Explain the title and what you and Josh Kuhn are doing with this music. I mean, it's turned into a major project and nonprofit you run called the Idelson Society. What's
Absolutely.
It all about?
Absolutely. It's also David Katznelson, a record label executive from San Francisco, and Courtney Holt, the president of MySpace Music. I mean, the four of us just found these albums, these Latin Jewish combos from the 1950s, like Irving Fields, who did Bagels and Bongos, mm-hmm. Juan Calle and his Latin Landsman, who did Mazel Tov, Mis Amigos. And this music blew us away. We found this crazy world of Jews making Latin music, non-Jews making Jewish music. And we were just amazed that we'd never inherited any of this history. And we set about over the past 8 years trying to save as much of this vinyl as possible, getting it sent to us via our website, theidelsonsociety.com, but also going down to Boca, which is where Jewish vinyl goes to die.
Boca Raton, Florida.
Absolutely. And I know that place better than I ever dreamt. And our goal was to save the vinyl. We started to reissue it. And now we've moved into getting the performers back on stage, 80 and 90-year-old performers. And if any of the original performers from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s are listening today, we'd love to hear from you. We've raised funding to record your stories and preserve them, because the history is literally being edited out of the present.
Well, let's hear another example. We're about to hear the Barry Sisters. Give us a quick line on who they are, and then we'll hear their Yiddish version of, our listeners will figure it out pretty quickly. Who are they?
I mean, the Barry Sisters were one of many sister-sister combos that were popular in the 50s and 60s. Their great skill was to take popular music favorites of the present and translate them through to Jewish linguistics of the 40s and 50s. Yiddish, the track you're about to hear, is a masterpiece when you drop a little bit and it can blow the audience's mind.
Den Regen auf mein Kopf, nur sei Farben. Steh ihr hin, Tram, muss gib mir ein Reus der Film.
The Barry Sisters there, and Roger Bennett, I mean, they were Jewish, but they're covering like the ultimate Goyesha AM radio tune, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. Did Jews take this seriously when it came out, or did they feel like this was cute and campy, but not really Jewish?
I mean, I think the cute and campy is really just a projection back from the present onto the past. And back in the day, the Jewish music purchasing audience was voracious. And a testament to that is the incredible number of non-Jews who recorded Jewish music. Everybody from Perry Como, Connie Francis, and The Temptations, and of course, Johnny Mathis recorded Jewish albums, teaching themselves Hebrew, Aramaic, and often Yiddish in the process to do so. This stuff was treated very, very seriously. What they are kind of icons of identity, and in collecting them, really all we're trying to do is ask ourselves who we are, what we're inheriting, what we know about it, and what it really means to us.
Right. And on that tip, I mean, you devote a chapter in your book to the Latin tinge and how it crossed over into Jewish music and vice versa. Here's Latino musician Joe Quijano with a very danceable version of Hava Nagila. Roger Bennett, what was the Latino reaction at the Palladium Ballroom, for example, in New York, when the DJ dropped that tune, Hava Nagila?
That whole album is exquisite, and it was one of many that have been lost to history. And the whole Latin Jewish story raises questions about community, the mixing and matching, the borrowing of traditions that did go on, and how both communities tell that story or don't tell that story. And I think the more we know about it, the more we're blown away by the symbiosis culturally between the two communities in the 50s and 60s.
Well, Roger, let's go out with this quite serious and beautiful version of the Kol Nidre, the inaugural prayer of Yom Kippur. This is the golden voice of Johnny Mathis. A quick line on this. You mentioned him earlier.
Johnny Mathis released an album of songs of faith in the late 50s. They're mostly Christian hymns, but he also recorded three Jewish songs. I asked him, how did this come to be? And he said, I spent time in the studio recording songs of faith. And after a while, I was looking around and I realized the whole band was Jewish. And it was the band that persuaded him to transliterate the Aramaic into kind of the English pronunciation. And he, in a couple of takes, nailed it. And when we go down to Florida and we play the music we found for the 80 and 90-year-olds we speak to on a regular basis, when we play this song, by the end of it, they are normally just weeping with joy.
All right, we'll go out with Johnny Mathis and Kol Nidre. It's a wonderful book that's uncovered some extraordinary songs. Roger Bennett is co-author of You Shall Know Us by the Trail of Our Vinyl and the co-founder of the Idelson Society. Very good to speak with you, Roger.
Thank you, Marco.
Johnny Mathis there singing Kol Nidre, not a song for tonight. Still, we wish you all a happy Hanukkah. By the way, you can see some very entertaining album covers from Roger's book at theworld.org. Our secular theme song was composed by Eric Goldberg from the Nan and Bill Harris Studios at WGBH in Boston. I'm Marco Werman. Thank you for joining us.